Okay, so basically, just to summarize and catch everyone up here. So, the most basic thing here is two things. There's something called a mitzvah v'osa and an anim mitzvah v'osa, which means basically a guy who does a mitzvah. So, if you're commanded to do the mitzvah, you're called mitzvah v'osa. For instance, let's say a man sits in a sukkah, he's a mitzvah v'osa, and then you have an anim mitzvah v'osa. Let's say a woman sits in a sukkah, she's not obligated to sit in a sukkah. But if she does, she could do it anyway. She could do the mitzvah as an anim mitzvah v'osa. Okay? The question is, basically boils down to, and we'll get to this, I don't know if we'll get to this today, but the question is when you say a bracha, when you make a bracha on a mitzvah, you say, Asher Keshem Oso Vitzivanu, that Hashem commanded us, right? So the question is could a woman, let's say, or someone who's not commanded in a mitzvah, could she say Vitzivanu? Could she say a bracha, a berachas mitzvah, on a mitzvah which she's not commanded on? Okay, she just does it optionally. Could you say the bracha or could you not say the bracha? Okay, that's basically, bottom line, that's the question. That's what we're looking for here. Okay, and the Gemara is, from our Gemara, which we're discussing, is going to try to derive one way or another. But that's the question. Could you say Vitzivanu? Could someone who's not commanded in a mitzvah say Vitzivanu? Okay? Good. Fine. So now our Gemara says as follows. It says, Rav Yosei, there's a famous machlokas, whether a blind person is obligated in mitzvahs. Okay? It's machlokas. Chum say yes, the Rav Yudah says no. Okay? So, Rav Yosef was blind. Now, okay, and the thing is like this. There's another people point in the background. The question is it better to be commanded or better to be not commanded? Okay? So, Rav Yosef was blind. And what he said, basically, so originally he thought that it is better to be better to be not commanded and do a mitzvah. He said, I'm very happy if someone tells me that blind people are a part of mitzvahs because then I realize that I'm doing it even though I'm not commanded. That's a great thing. So he's very happy to hear that blind people are not obligated to mitzvahs originally. But then someone told him that that's not true. You're better off to be commanded. It's more schar. Your person is more reward for a mitzvah if he's commanded to do it. And therefore, on the contrary, he was happy to hear that blind people would be obligated to do the mitzvah. He's happy if someone would tell him that was the halacha, that blind people do have to do the mitzvah, because now he gets to the greatest reward, because he's obligated. Okay, so again, so back for a second. So he originally thought that you get more reward for a mitzvah if you're not obligated to do the mitzvah. Okay, so he thought he'd rather someone tell him that you don't have to sit in a sukkah. And this way he'd feel very good, because now he'd be doing sitting in the sukkah anyways, and he thought it was very good, and he was very happy about that. Ah, but the question is, Rabbeinu Tam wants to say is as follows. Rabbi, you're telling me, Rabbi Yosef was very happy to hear that he wasn't obligated, because you get a lot of reward for doing mitzvah, you're not obligated in. He says, yeah, but hold on a second. Could he say a bracha? Okay, this gets back to the question. Could someone who's not obligated in a mitzvah say a bracha? Now, let's assume you were to say that someone who's not obligated could not say a bracha. So then Rav Yosef would, by getting this great schar for being not commanded, he's going to forfeit the brachos. Now, it can't be that Rav Yosef was going to want to forfeit brachos, because brachos, and we talked about this yesterday, brachos are a very fundamental institution in a person's perfection. And that is so fundamental that a person, the Rishonim, they all say it would not make any sense that you would forfeit the brachos in order to get a higher schar in mitzvah sukkah. Schar mitzvah sukkah. Sukkah is one mitzvah. Mitzvahs are particular actions. But brachos, to give up every brachos on mitzvah, every time brachos on mitzvah, it doesn't make any sense that Rav Yosef would be happy to give that up. Yet, you see, he was happy that he was not obligated. So why was he happy? Why was he so happy? How he's giving up the brachos? So Rabbeinu Tam says it must be that you're not giving up the brachos. That even though you're not commanded, you could still make a bracha. It must be. You can make a bracha anyways. And therefore, if Yosef would never, he wasn't giving up brachas. Everyone makes brachas. Men make brachas, women make brachas, blind people make brachas. The only question is what's more schar? So that's why he said, I would rather be an Adam Tzivosa. I'd rather be not commanded, because it would have been better schar. Okay? That's Rabbeinu Tam's argument. The argument is, again, the fact that Rabbi Yosef was happy, it must be that the brachas are not a question. It doesn't matter whether you're obligated or not, you're definitely making brachas. Okay, and therefore, Rabbeinu Tam then says, so women also. If you see that blind people, if you see Rav Yosi was able to make a bracha, It's clear. Rabbi Yosef was able. Rabbi Yosef would have made brachos. So then, woman also can make brachos. What's the difference? Woman can make brachos. If a woman wants to do any mitzvah shel zman grama, she can make a bracha. That's Rabbi Natan's argument. Okay. So that's Rabbi Natan. So now the re. So now we're in the. I'm going to read from the Ritva. Okay. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Okay, but just to get the idea, he brings in the re. Okay, the Ritva goes in the re. The re basically argues the Rabbi Natan. And he says, I'm reading from the Ritva Yekidu, the Ran has the same, basically, the same give and take as another. The Ran has it, the Ramban has it. They're different, you know. I think the Ritva is pretty clear how he has it. But so we'll read from here. But we're not going to read every single thing. I'm just going to get the idea here. So, Ve'eshev alav re, bal tosvos, temehal, like a raya klal. No, there's no proof whatsoever from the story, from Rav Yosef, from the blind guy, to whether women could make brachas or not. Why? Shafilu tomar shesuma l'Rav Yehuda afa pishu patar min ha-mitzvos. Even according to Rav Yehuda, who holds the suma is patar from mitzvos, din hu sheivarach lahem, still you can make a bracha. Even though, and I'll tell you, really, women can't make brachas. But blind people could. Why? What's the difference? About them and Suvosa. The Alpha got the Patna Minutes Medeo Raisa, Chayev Hubahem, Midrabana. Because you're missing a fact here. Blind people are a potter from mitzvahs. Mina Torah. The Torah never obligated blind people to do mitzvahs. But according to Rav Yehuda. But Midrabanan, he's still Chayev. Ubichayuva Durabanan, Shaper, Matsu, Lavarach, Hashek, Shavas, Sotivanu. Do me the Rechner Chanakal, Mikra Megillah. Right? And on Achiv the Rabbanan, you do say a bracha. Like Ner Chanukah, you only chayim the Rabbanan, but you still say Vitzivanu, because Torah commanded you to listen to the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan said to do Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. So by a blind guy, the Torah told him to listen to the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan say that the blind people are chayim the mitzvahs. So therefore, blind people are chayim the mitzvahs anyways. They are chayim the mitzvahs, blind people. Mid the Rabbanan. So that's why Rav Yossi wasn't forfeiting a bracha. Not because a guy who's not commanded makes brachos, but because he was commanded, midrabanan. Midrabanan. Aval nashim, mimitzesh as my grandma, paturusain, I feel midrabanan. But women are paturusain, mimitzesh as my grandma, even midrabanan. There's no halacha midrabanan, a woman has to sit in a sukkah, or take a loaf. No, midrabanan, she's 100% paturus, which he shows. Right, now I'm jumping a little. Vikivon shepaturus, mayhem, I feel midrabanan. Since they're paturos, they just showed the few lines. Since they're paturos, even the rabbanon, hech omeres hashem shoso v'sivanu. So how could she say that God commanded her? Avadai bracha levatali. That's a bracha levatala. Yeah, because a woman is not commanded. She can't say commanded. How could a blind person say brachos? Because he is commanded. Mid rabbanon. The whole machlokas whether a blind person is chayev or patpadner is only a machlokas deraisa. From the rabbanon, he's definitely obligated. And then he says, "Vehevi raya the suma chayv mitzvahs midrabanan afilu Rabbi Yehuda." And then he brings a proof, because that's his real move here, is that Rabbi Yehuda, who says blind people are potter, that's only minatorah midrabanan, they're still obligated. And then he basically brings a proof to show that really they are obligated midrabanan. Okay, and that's the rest of this paragraph. He goes through a lengthy proof which tries to show that blind people are really obligated mitzvahs midrabanan, and therefore you cannot bring any proof whatsoever from blind to women, and therefore women cannot make a cannot say vitzivan. Okay, that was the Re's attack, rejection of Manatam. Well, you may ask one question is why is it that blind people are the why the Rabbanan, if the Torah says that blind people are really not obligated in mitzvos. So why should the Rabbanan obligate them? Right? And if they do, then why don't they obligate women? Mitzvah Shemai Grama. It's kind of funny. Right? So that's what he comes back to that later. Because some want to say no. It's a machlokas. It's not so clear that blind people are obligated. Some knock off and say it's not true. So, but he says basically they are. And he says at the very end of the next paragraph, he explains why. He says, Vidinu. Okay? I'm reading, this is the Tosas I mentioned, also gets to this. But Vidinu. Even though women are 100% from Mitzvah, but they're still obligated in all the other mitzvahs. How many mitzvahs are Mitzvah Shemai Grama? So every other mitzvah, women are obligated. But Suma, who's basically, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is pater from every single mitzvah. imata pocho fim the rabbanon. If the rabbanon don't do anything about this, asis also kagoy gamor. He's going to be basically like a guy, mamish, 100%. He's like a guy. He's not chayvin any mitzvos. Behalo efshar. It's not possible. So the rabbanon had to step in and chayv a guy, a suma, a blind guy in mitzvos. So that's why it's chayvin the rabbanon. But women, a woman's not like a guy just because she's not doing mitzvah shema grama. It's just a few mitzvos. So that's what he's saying, is that a suma is basically chayv mitzvah darabanan, because he wouldn't be like a guy. But a woman is not, so therefore they're totally different. Totally different. Yeah. I believe it's machlokes nachronim, whether he'd have to, according to Rabbi, whether he'd have to keep los aseis. But, I mean, you could argue, Abi look a guy, gomor, sounds like it means not even los aseis. But you could say, whatever, you could argue. Say, it's basically, if you have only los aseis, you don't have an aseis, could be you say you're like a guy. I don't know, it's a good question. It's a question whether it means that, I mean. It's a question. So it's a machloket, and the Quran talks about it. He brings it down in the footnotes there, I think. So you could say, who cares? Let him be like a guy. I mean, apparently the Torah didn't have a problem with him being like a guy. Right? I mean, Torah was never mechayev him. So is that a problem? I mean, is he a guy or is he a Jew? So obviously he's a Jew. He's not a guy. So now, but the Torah held, apparently, for some reason, that the Torah didn't want to be mechayev him. So now what? The Rabbanan say, whoa, we got a problem here. Torah, you messed up this one. This guy's like a guy. We got to make a... What do you mean? Torah saw that he's like a guy. Apparently, the Torah didn't care. Let him be like a guy. That's not a problem. But the Rabbanan came along and says, no, he can't be like a guy. He says, behalo efshar. It's not possible. Why is it not possible? The Torah did it. He's saying, it sounds like they're the same. The Torah system doesn't make sense. It's a mistake. So since the Torah had an oversight, they basically left the Summa a blind guy like a guy, no mitzvahs. So the Rabbanan stepped in and wanted to rectify the situation and made him chayv and all the mitzvahs with the Rabbanan. That's a problem. Right? That has to be explained. Good question. It's a cute question. It's like, what do you mean? As he's saying, a suma is pater from all the mitzvahs, right? And that's, I think, one of the kashas on the right, is they say it's obligated in los aseis. But if you say that a suma really doesn't have to keep any mitzvahs, even los aseis, so how is he chayv to listen to the Rabbanan? The only reason I listen to Rabbanan is because it's los aser, because the Torah said los aser. So if you tell me that I'm not chayv in los aseis, then how am I chayv to listen to the Rabbanan tell me? There's another problem. There's a problem with what the Re wants to say. He wants to answer basically Rabbeinu Tam's thing is that you make a mistake, Rabbeinu Tam. A suma is really obligated mid the Rabbanan. And that's why Rav Yosef, don't get all worried. How would Rav Yosef give up the brachos? No, Rav Yosef wasn't giving up brachos because he's obligated mid the Rabbanan. So since he's obligated mid the Rabbanan, he could say brachos, he could say Betzivanu, right? And that's nothing to do with women because women aren't even obligated mid the Rabbanan, right? But what's the whole discussion in the Gemara? The whole discussion in the Gemara is what's better, to be a mitzvavosa or an animitzvavosa? To be commanded and to do it or to not be commanded? Now, let's say, assume someone is commanded midrabanan. Then what would you classify them as, mitzvavosa or an animitzvavosa? Are they one who is doing it on his own volition or is he doing it out of a command? You'd say, pretty clearly, he's a mitzvavosa. Because animitzvavosa means a guy who is voluntarily deciding to do the thing. Mitzvavosa is a guy who has to do it because he has to do it, because he has to listen to the Torah. Right? So isn't it self-defeating? You know, isn't the Re's answer, which is saying, no, you're missing the point. The Summa is obligated midrabanan. But then the whole discussion in the Gemara, then what's Rav Yosef talking about? Rav Yosef is saying, I'd rather the halacha is assumed as pater min mitzvahs, chayv min mitzvahs, who cares? Everyone agrees assumed as chayv min mitzvahs midrabanan, so therefore he's not nein mitzvahs altogether, because he's obligated in the mitzvahs midrabanan. So the whole Gemara becomes, doesn't make any sense if you say that he's chayv midrabanan. Doesn't the Gemara clearly indicate that a suma is not obligated midrabanan? You know what I mean? By saying he's obligated to Rabbanan, he gets brachos. Not only is he going to get brachos, he's going to become mitzvosa. Right? That's a problem. And Schar and Onesh certainly includes the Rabbanans. So you can't say that in terms of Schar, basically I'm not commanded, because I'm only commanded the Rabbanan. But in the Torah, I'm not commanded. But Schar is, you can't say, if a guy, for instance, does all the derises but violates all the Rabbanans, you say he gets Schar for mitzvahs and he doesn't get any onshim because he's doing derisa? Certainly not. Schar is based upon the Rabbanan, the whole system. And the system of Osasar, the derisa tells you, you have to listen to the Rabbanan. So basically a guy, vis-a-vis the system, he's a mitzvah. He's a suma, he's a mitzvah. He's a mitzvah on every single mitzvah, mid Rabbanan. So then what do you mean his name is Zavosa? So it must be, his name is Zavosa. No, it must be he was not mitzvah altogether. He's blind and this isn't true. Blind people aren't obligated. In which case, you get back to the Rabbanan Tom's proof. that you see, apparently, even though he's blind, he must be able to say a mitzvah, say a bracha. Because otherwise, how could he give up all the brachas? Right? I mean, that sounds like just the reason missing a point here. So Tosfos in Erevin deals with this issue. Okay, tell me what you think about his answer. But he says, you saw it? You want to say something?
No.
Okay. So Tosfos in Erevin, it's basically a parallel Tosfos in Erevin. It's a big Tosfos, but he goes through, because Tosfos by us is very short, and all the other Rishonim are long, but in Erevin, Tosfos does his share of talking. So in Sadi Vavam Abeis, I'm just going to read you a line. Okay, you don't have to have it if you don't have it. I'm just going to read a line. He says, Umihu. You see, the way he talks is he talks back at, you know. He talks like he's answering the question. Like, he doesn't spell out the question, but now that I tell you the question, you'll see that's exactly what Tosfos is dealing with. He says, Umihu. It's the third line on Sadi Vavam Abeis. Umihu Ein Raya Misuma Leisha. You can't bring any proof from a blind person to Isha. This is really his point. The Summa Machayv in Durabanan, because the Summa is obligated in Durabanan. Now here's Umikol Makom Hayasameach Rav Yosef, and still Rav Yosef was happy. See, that's what he's dealing with. If you tell me he's obligated in Durabanan, then what was he so happy about? He's Chayv anyways, right? That's what he's dealing with. Why? Mishum de Midoraisa, Lo Mefkid, because Min HaTorah is not commanded. And he's doing it. Because Min HaTorah. Because he was still happy, because still, Min HaTorah, he's an Eina Mitzvah. But he's only Mitzvah, Min HaRabbanan, so he's an Eina Mitzvosa, Min HaTorah. Okay, that's kind of like what you were trying to say. But the question is, do you say anything? That's it. But the problem is, it doesn't make sense. I mean, he's addressing the problem, but the logic does... It's hard to see the logic, because what do you mean you're not commanded Min HaTorah? I mean, Torah commanded you to listen to the Rabbanan, so you are commanded Min HaTorah. I mean, it's not explaining it. I mean, you're still Eina Mitzvah Osa is an Eina Mitzvah Osa, right? Like in all the answers. Remember, what was the value of Eina Mitzvah Osa? Either because you're very stressed out, you're worried that you have to do the mitzvah, so they say the Rabbanan, you're not worried, or because you're a Kaim Mitzvah Samelach, you're in the system, that's not the system. Or because from Tzara Agra, because you have the rebelliousness, it's hard to see what's how is it the fact that you're, well, who cares if you're only obligated to Raisa? If you're only obligated to Rabbanan, who cares? I have another question. Okay, this is the question. Okay, why is a blind person potter in the mitzvahs? Can't ask that question.
Yeah, well, come on.
I don't know. Just one of those things. Like, you could say you can't ask it, but it's a little funny. Right? I mean, how did blind become a Ptor? What's that Ptor? I mean, it's Machlokas. It's Rabbi Yehuda Nacham. I don't think we don't like Rabbi Yehuda. He's a Shidichidi. But what's the sense to that? I mean, that sounds funny. What does blind have to do with Ptor Mitzvahs? Now he's blind, he doesn't do any Mitzvahs? How does that work out? So maybe you'll say it's because how could you can't expect the guy to do the mitzvahs? How he's blind?
Blind.
He can't learn the sugyas. He can't see. He can't. This is very hard. Something like that, right? That's what your mind. So you could say it's because for whatever reason you could try to construct a scenario where since you're blind you can't do mitzvahs. It's too hard. You can't think. You can't see. You can't walk. You bump into things. Whatever. Whatever it is. However you want to work it out. Okay, but then how do Rabbanan view Chayefim?
Right.
Right, I mean, Rabbanan apparently, well, how'd that work out? It's a question anyways, how do Rabbanan view Chayefim? That's the question I asked before, how do Rabbanan view Chayefim? But I think it's hard, it's harder if you say that it's not, the Torah was Chayefim because it's not possible for him to do them, then it seems not possible to say the Rabbanan view Chayefim. Okay, so here's the deal. So we started talking yesterday about why the Torah is mechayev a person in mitzvahs. Okay, why is what's the mechayev in mitzvahs? So you could have argued is because the Torah is really the best system for a person's perfection, and the Torah is being mechayev you to be a good person, and it's saying is you chayev to do that. Okay, but that we said is not true. That's not the idea. Like you see, for instance, before the Torah was given, also there's perfection. And perfection is a personal thing. Guy could do perfection on his own. And why should the Torah be mechayev you to perfect yourself? That's your personal decision, you know. But we talked about, and that was this, we brought it in the schar thing, that whole idea of the schar, is that when the Torah is basically, the idea of Matan Torah and Tariq Mitzvahs is the Torah is setting up a system which will be which will ensure the existence of true ideas in the world. Okay, and through the fact that the Jewish people are keeping mitzvahs, which are all based on chachma, and every mitzvah reflects chachmas Hashem, or an idea about perfection, about how to live your life, you know. So therefore, these ideas and the true philosophy is maintained in the world. Right? Like philosophers basically die out. They don't, without a system, basically the true ideas become die with the philosophers who think about them. But when you have a system, through a system of tayag and of mitzvos, so there that preserves the ideas and the whole hashkaf of Torah in the nation, and you can actually have a nation for generations and generations who have a philosophy and have all ideas about God and a derech hachaim and all that through the system of Torah. And that's why a person, the Torah, there has to be a system. And that's why a person can't say, no, you know what, I think for my perfection will be better to do so and so. And maybe even if he'd be right, it doesn't matter, but there has to be a system, and for the greater good, which you benefited from that greater good, because you have this, the reason why you have the good and you have ideas is because the system exists. So the system demands that there is a group of people who live by a certain code, and the world looks towards the Jewish people to gain ideas, true ideas, right? To gain true ideas about God and about Derech HaChaim. Okay. Now the question is, for instance, as we said, is that how could a woman be Torah and mitzvah? So let's say like Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is the most important mitzvah. How could a woman be Potter and accepting Kibbol Malchus Shemayim, accepting God? How could she be Potter? He said, yeah, in terms of her perfection, of course she has to accept God. I mean, there's no perfection-wise, she's no different than a man. But the question is, who is the vehicle? Who did God set up as the keepers of this idea in the world, so to speak? Who did God set up as the ones who will maintain the existence of this idea in the world, the ideas of Kriya Shema? Man. Okay? Because woman is man grama, and for whatever reason you want to give about Zman Grama, women weren't the appropriate keepers of the Zman Grama mitzvahs. You know what I mean? But in terms of perfection, of course, perfection is no difference between man and woman, but they were not chosen to be the representative and for people to look at, and the proper, what is the right way to live? How should I spend when I wake up and when I go to sleep? What's the proper way for a person should act when he wakes up and goes to sleep? The men were chosen to reflect that idea. I mean, so the mitzvahs are, and that's the idea of Klai Yisrael, like an Arlegayim. They teach the world the ideas about God and maybe about perfection, about Torah. Okay, fine. So again, the mechayev of mitzvah, and that's why we said, for instance, let's say Chil Hashem is the biggest avera, because since people judge God and truth based upon Klal Yisrael, based upon Jewish people, so if a Jew does something bad and people are now not just judging you, but they judge Torah and they judge God based upon that, so it's going to destroy. It destroys the whole system. That's why Kiddush Hashem is a great thing, because people now look up to Torah. Okay. So if we're saying that the reason why the Torah is mechayev me in mitzvahs is not because it's best for me, for my perfection. My perfection, I can decide on my own what's best for my perfection. And, you know, you're fooled if you decide against it, but that's a personal matter. But the Torah is mechayev you, and that was, we accepted upon ourselves this responsibility, and we got the great benefits from it. But that's the bris. The bris is we accepted upon ourselves the great, it's a responsibility, it's hard, there are difficulties, there are challenges, and you have to do it. But you get benefits. You benefit greatly from having that thing, but there is a responsibility on your shoulder. That's why it's like an all. You have to do it. You don't have an option. And if you don't, there's going to be an option. Right. Okay. So now the thing is this. Again, why? Because the Jewish people reflect. Because they reflect. There are people to judge God and look for ideas through the people, right? So let's say, for instance, like back to the Chil Hashem example. Let's say, for instance, like a Jewish person cheats in business, you know? Or let's say a Jewish person like does something like corrupt, you know what I mean? So then people judge people based upon that, right? But like, let's assume, so you're saying people judge Torah based upon people. Now, who do they judge? Do they judge Torah based upon the crippled people, so to speak, in the nation?
Yeah.
Okay. Do they judge people? So does people. What I'm saying is like is that people don't judge the class. Like if for instance, if a guy who is blind was stealing a quarter from someone, you know, stealing money, like, you know, they're walking around. People would, they cut a guy slack, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, they don't judge. You judge a group by the ichor of the group. You know what I mean? By the healthy people, so to speak. Because when you have a guy who's blind, since he's like a handicapped guy, it's not, the group isn't judged by that, by those people. The group is judged by the normal people, the healthy people. Because once you get to a guy who's already a category and he's set apart from the group as being a cripple, as being, you know, he is not a representative of the Jewish people. He's not a spokesman. People don't judge the proper way to live from, they understand that guy's blind and he has his own, even though, whatever, I don't know if it's a necessary excuse, but that's just the way people look at it. People look at it, they judge people differently when they have a handicap. You know, you're not in his position, you're not blind, you can't judge, you know. So and in theory you get other handicaps. I mean, but I'm saying blind is a handicap. And therefore, when the Torah set up that the Torah, the chayav and mitzvos because of the effect it has and because of the way people look at you, so they the Torah excluded a Summa from that class. Summa is not a person who functions for the mission of the Torah of being an Orla Gayim, of teaching the true ideas of Torah to the world. Okay, Summa is not one of the people who's entrusted in that mission. Okay, of course, in terms of his perfection, his personal perfection, he's a human being, and he has a Tzomalukim, and he has a... Because he has to do whatever he does. Okay, so you could ask a question. You could say, so what about other cripples? Okay, so one, I have two answers for you. One answer is that the question doesn't bother me. Because that's halacha. I mean, Torah singled out Tzuma. I mean, you want to say the Torah singled out? I don't know. Torah, for whatever reason, Torah held Tzuma as a category, and then, you know. But I'd say, anyways, if I remember from the Sugya, I did this Sugya years back, I think it's like, that's why it learns it out, or Yudel learns it out, is like, because first thing is a Tzuma can't be a witness. And then as a Gzer Shavua, he can't be, he doesn't have this, and then he doesn't have this, and then he has this, therefore he's putting all the mitzvahs. So I think what I'll just say is that you can't, there's no category called cripples. There's no category like that. So therefore he's chayav mitzvahs. But there is a category called of Tzuma, because Eidos. See, in Eidos, that's a natural category, because Eidos is a witness, and you can't be a witness if you're blind. So the that particular cripple became a halakha category through Eidos, and once he becomes a category, now you could pater him for mitzvos, because he's the only cripple who kind of like registers on the radar screen of halakha, you know what I mean? But a paraplegic isn't in the halakha category called paraplegics. But Tzuma there is, because of the framework of Eidos, you know what I mean? Fine. So, okay, yeah. I mean, you could say, look, he's a cripple, he has his own language, he doesn't see, he was braille, people don't identify with him, you don't learn from the blind guy, you learn from your average person. The person, the blind guy, has his own set of principles, his own way to live, his own, you know, he is not chosen to function as part of the early time. So now the thing is like this, that's Min HaTorah. Okay, because the Mechi of Min HaTorah is because of their role vis-a-vis Kiddush Hashem. That's what I'm saying. Kiddush Hashem is towards teaching the world of this. I'm calling it that's Kiddush Hashem. But now it turns out the Rabbanon saw is now you have this Summa, who because of that is really in terms of his perfection is like a guy basically. I mean, he's a Jew who basically doesn't have the identity of a Jew. I mean, because the whole identity of a Jew and the perfection of a Jew is because it is through his perfection. This guy basically, it's true that you want the Torah and obligate him because the chiyuv in the Torah, min haTorah, is only because of this, of Kiddush Hashem, and therefore the Torah is not the vehicle of that. But in terms of his perfection, now the guy's like a guy. And that's bad. You don't want guy in Klal Yisrael. That's bad in terms of the Klal. They didn't want to have a guy in the Klal who basically, in perfection, is equal to a guy. So the Rabbanan Ramachayefim. The Rabbanan Ramachayefim, the Torah's perfection. In terms of his perfection, not because the world will judge him, because again, they don't judge, they can't change that. That's the Torah, but it's a new framework. It's a new framework of Machayev, which is that in terms of his perfection, he's like a guy, and to protect Klal Yisrael, they didn't want to have Goyim, guys who have a perfection of Goyim in Klal Yisrael, and therefore they were Machayev. That's like a siyag. It's like a protection, and that's the role of the Rabbanon. Different framework. Okay? Let me just get to the point. Okay? Bear with me. So now the thing is, now let's get to Enim Tzivos. Okay? And Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs. So let's learn like the Ritva's Pshat. Okay? The Ritva. Like the Ritva's Pshat. That Pshat. And well, the pshat of the reason why mitzvos is greater schar is because the primary schar of mitzvos is not because of your personal perfection, but is because you are fulfilling the gzeras hamalach and you're involved in kiddush Hashem. You're involved in that in the system. And that's why only if you're commanded could you say I'm carrying out God's will in the system because God entrusted me to do it, and I'm subordinating myself to God's will in the system, right? That's the idea of, that's the schar of mitzvah osa. Schar of mitzvah osa, according to one of the Shatavis. Because you, only if you're commanded could you say that your performance is not just a personal performance, but is a performance which is, towards Kiddush Hashem, and towards the betterment of the world, towards carrying out God's will in His plan, of the world, that the world has ideas about Torah. So if you're mitzvah va'osa, then you have additional element, you get schar, a bigger schar, because the schar of mitzvos, the primary schar of mitzvos is because your action, you are, that's the bris of the Torah, is that if you direct your life and your energies towards carrying out, or towards teaching the world the ideas of Torah and of God, then you'll receive a great schar. Okay? So now the question is, the apshat. There are different pshatim on any mitzvah, so they'll take just the apshat. So now you'll ask me a question is, what about the Summa? What about the Summa? So you'll say the Summa is commanded. Ah. But what is the nature of the Summa's performance? Is it because... See, in Eina Mitzvosa, let's just sort of say, in Eina Mitzvosa is a guy whose action... He's not fulfilling Kiddush Hashem. He's not involved in that framework. His performance is totally personal perfection. Right? Personal perfection. But that's not the primary Schar Mitzvahs. The primary Schar Mitzvahs is in the framework of the Kiddush Hashem, the framework of teaching of God, the carrying out God's will, the Gzera of God. So now, if I tell you a Summa, so a Summa is Chayiv, he's Mitzvah, correct, true. But it's different Chayiv than every single other Chayiv in the whole Torah. Because every Chayiv in the Torah, even the Rabbanans in general, are part of the system, are part of what's necessary to maintain on to. For Klal Yisrael to be teachers of Kiddush Hashem, right? That is the nature of the thing. But here, when the Rabbanan of Chayiv Asuma, they were basically saying that we're protecting your perfection. They're not protecting Am Yisrael. They're not protecting Kiddush Hashem. This is a totally different thing. This is saying is that until he's not Kiddush Hashem, Torah excluded him from Kiddush Hashem because he's a Suma. But we're saying is this guy is basically going to be like a guy. So to protect the guy, we're gonna for your Chayiv to do these things for your perfection. Oh, but then if you're doing it, you can't say you're going to get the schar of a mitzvah v'osa, because accidentally you happen to be, you are commanded. But it's not the fact of whether you're commanded or not, it's the kind of performance that you're doing. Are you doing a performance of perfection, or are you doing a performance of carrying out the Kiddush Hashem, the system of Torah? So the guy, even though he's chayiv, he's the one guy who's chayiv, but he's really equal to an ein mitzvah v'osa. Because he's doing it as an action of perfection. It's not an action of halacha of Kiddush Hashem. So therefore, he's going to be considered like an Eidim Tzuvah anyways, even though he'd be chayiv. So that's why it wasn't a problem. The good question is why the Rabban, look, if he's saying is why is the Shulchan be mechayiv? And Torah wasn't mechayiv him. The whole chi of mitzvos in general is all the guy. And now he's saying there's a new chi of the Torah's perfection. So where do you see that? I mean, that's why. Undoubtedly, that's why the other Rishonim, that's why it's a whole question. It's not so simple whether he's chayiv mid rabbanan or not. But presumably, that's the question. I mean, that's what they hold, is he can't be chayiv. There's no, where do you see such a chayiv? I mean, I don't know exactly that answer, is that what his, why they are. But you have a sense, that's what he's saying. It's, they don't want to be like a guy. We don't want to make him like a guy. That's, you can see that. I mean, I'm not sure exactly why, but that's the question, is could you have a chayiv like that? You can see why in Klal Yisrael they don't want to have it, but where do you see a chiyuv like that? Who's to say there is such a thing? That's the question. That's the machlokes Rishonim. That's the one aspect of the machlokes Rishonim. Okay. So what I'd like to do next time, I guess tomorrow, it's Thursday, right?
Tomorrow.
Is there's another answer here of the difference between why they're mechayev a guy, suma versus a woman. See, by a woman you don't have this problem, the perfection problem, because she has a perfection of other things. She's not like a guy. But in Tosfos there's another answer of why he differentiates between. It says the reason why they're mechayev a suma and not a woman was because even though suma's pater, he's like a min of chayev, because he's a man. Man are chayev. So therefore they can be mechayev a suma, because he's also a man. But a woman, they were mechayev because she's a woman. Women don't have them all together. So just to define that point. And then I think we should define, if you look further, I mean, the essential problem we still haven't dealt with is, could you say a bracha on a mitzvah of Yenayim and Tzivosa? So that, basically, is at the very end of the Ritva. There's another point about this Slashim Somchos, but I'll mention it. I don't want to spend time on it. But the very end of the Ritva, I think he talks about it. The Kiva, Filoachi, the very last column there, is where he basically comes around and explains a little bit why it is that you could say Vitzivana, why it's not a problem. They all do it. The Ron has it, the Ritva has it. But what's the question? Is it valid to say Vitzivana if your name is Zuvosa, or is it not? And they talk about it. You'll see they talk about it. That's like the core. I mean, that's really what this whole thing involves, man. What it's all working up towards there, you know?
Because it seems like it's long.